Great to have your company. Thanks for listening to the program. Love it when you call in, 1-300-736-736. Come to your calls shortly, and love it when you text in as well on the Speckle text. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. Dave from Hoppers. Dwayne, I'm assuming that these hubs will house all the people required to make a game happen, including broadcast staff. Dave in Hoppers. Yeah, if the hubs are in a specific state like Victoria, where the games are played at Marvel Stadium, for example, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the broadcast staff. But I think we'll have camera people there and directors maybe there, but I think the majority of it will be run from the hub at Fox Sports or Fox Footy, and Channel 7 as well might elect to do their games remotely and not actually send commentators to the games. But so much can happen in the next couple of months. If we have a complete flattening of the curve and zeros across the board around various states in Australia, not just a couple of zeros in a row registered in SA and WA, then we might have a situation where players actually don't have to be shut down into hubs and we can just play the season as per normal anyway. They should scrap the year. Try not to be negative, but it's an asterisk year for me. Maybe run a tournament. I haven't witnessed the Blues win a flag yet, and if they won it this year, it wouldn't mean anything to me. Gee, there's an interesting text. It wouldn't mean anything to me if the Blues won the flag this year. There you go. Andrew Gaze has been good enough to join me for the Australian-made logo. Be sure it's Aussie, the last dance. First two episodes of the Chicago Bulls last season with the band together under Michael Jordan. It was riveting viewing. I could have put out any bits of audio from the watch, but I pulled this little bit out from episode 2, which is a lot about Scottie Pippen. But Michael Jordan returning from a foot injury, saying that he just has to get out there and play, and winning is what it was all about for him, even if he had to take a chance that he might never play again because his foot injury might not heal. Here's Michael Jordan from The Last Dance.
I gradually worked my way up to a point where I'm playing 5-on-5 in a game, and I got the confidence that the foot is completely healed and I can play on it.
Michael asked, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again? Doctor said, yeah, 10%.
And I just lost it. I said, look, it's 10% chance, but it's 90% chance that I won't.
And then I chimed in to the doctors, what happens if the 10% kicks in? And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
So I said to Michael, you're not understanding the risk-reward ratio. If you had a terrible headache and I gave you a bottle of pills and 9 of the pills would cure you and 1 of the pills would kill you, would you take a pill?
And I look at him, I said, depends on how f-ing bad the headache is.
That's Michael Jordan on getting back to playing again, even with the foot that hadn't quite healed yet. Andrew Gaze joins me. Welcome to you. Great to have the GOAT on the program. Welcome back to you, Gazey.
Yeah, it was great listening, and what a couple of episodes we saw yesterday. It was fantastic. It's one of those ones that you just waiting in anticipation, counting down the sleeps yet again to see episodes three and four, because that was fantastic. It was a great insight, and I think they've done it remarkably well. And here's hoping it continues on in that vein. It was fantastic.
So it lived up to your expectation?
Well, believe it or not, I always go in with these things with just sort of modest expectations, because when there's so much hype around something, I guess we've all been a little disappointed from time to time, because there is such a this fanfare about the expectation. So I guess I went in there with excitement, but with modest expectations. But in this one, I actually think it probably went above what I was thinking. I was enthralled for a couple of hours watching it, and just I watched it with my son and trying to also see his reaction and how in which he gets an education on what I believe is the greatest of all time. It's fantastic. So I'm really enjoying it. And like you say, there was some great quotes in there. I love that one that you just played, but also the one about when I think it was Larry Bird explaining him, it was like he was disguised, God disguised as Michael Jordan, was an apt description after he had 63. And that 63 came at the tail end of that season that you're referring to, in the first round of the playoffs, where everyone thought that they weren't playing Michael because they were trying to tank trying to get better draft picks, but they found a way into the playoffs, and fortunately they did, because it led to one of the more incredible historic moments in Michael's career, where he had that 63 on the Celtics.
Yeah, I've been sitting here all week in my daggy Celtic shorts, Gazy. I've been broadcasting all week in the beautiful green. It was interesting to see, because for those people who don't know, Larry Bird was close to God himself. Him and Magic Johnson was probably the Jordan before Jordan arrived.
Absolutely. And for him, when you've got someone of his status referring to someone as God disguised as Michael Jordan, just shows the respect that Michael had. But when you saw and saw firsthand and had to try and stop a man that's just had 63 on you, you can understand why there was so much hype around Michael, and then why he very, very quickly earned the respect of some of the all-time greats. And I think Magic Johnson in the series as well mentioned of how quickly it became apparent that he was the most talented player in the competition.
And to see it in context as well, Gazy, I was talking earlier on about the fact that, you know, we read newspaper articles on what it was like in the old days, and we look at the numbers and we compare LeBron's numbers to Jordan's numbers and how many titles. But to actually see Jordan playing in context and seeing a season unfold before your eyes in context in a show like this is great for people who haven't seen Jordan play and understand more about Jordan. And I'm in that boat too. I'm really excited, because back in the old days of Jordan, you know, you're lucky to get a tape or a highlight reel put in front of you. That was all you had. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have ESPN and Fox Sports bring it to you.
That's 100% correct. And that's why I think it's becoming easier for the current generation when they see a documentary like this, and also see some of the games and the physicality of the game. And the thing that also sticks out is that when you look at some of those highlights, you see how he completely dominated the mid-range shot. And nowadays, the mid-range shot by most coaches is either outlawed or it's frowned upon as a really bad shot. I'd love for the analytics out there to go through it and say, well, Jordan is just an anomaly, or you look at it and say, well, hang on a minute, when you can develop these types of skills, that there is a place for the mid-range game. And certainly when you look at Michael and some of those clips, that the work he was doing using the board, obviously when you've got those incredible athletic skills, you can do a lot that no matter what the strategy is, you're going to be great. But it's really fun just to sort of see a different way the game was played. And I don't think we're really seeing, just in the clips that we saw, just how physical it was. I mean, it was incredibly physical, and the contact that he had to deal with, I think, is a lot greater than what the contact the modern-day player has to deal with.
And the Scottie Pippen story about the fact that, you know, he grew up with a house full of kids. He had a brother in a wheelchair, a dad in a wheelchair. They had no money, but he didn't actually know he was poor. He didn't know having a basketball ring and backboard out the back on a dirt court with the dust flying up. He didn't know that was poor. And to see where he came to where he got to is a snapshot of America at the time as well.
Well, he's playing. He didn't get picked up by any major schools. And the thing that stuck out the most to me, he was an equipment manager at his NAIA school the first year when he went to college. And he because a few players left, him working out, and he grew like 6 inches in an 18-month period. And I guess it just goes to show that sometimes the college scouts, don't always recognise talent as well, because he is regarded as one of the all-time greats, yet had to go the hard route, not even playing at a first division school. He's at an NAIA school, and really the rankings are probably Division I colleges, Division II, and then sort of the NAIA would fall in that next category underneath that as far as quality of competition. But here he is coming out of a school like he did at Central Arkansas, and to see Bill Clinton being the governor make comment about the progress, and how the director has introduced some iconic figures in to talk about some of these players. But the thing that sticks out also the most with Scottie Pippen, and it's perhaps because it's based on what you're referring to, the way in which he lived in a huge family and all the hardship he had to do growing up, that he signed a seven-year deal, but in those last couple of years, what was he, the 122nd highest paid player in the competition, and was making $2.6 million the year that Michael was making $30 million. It was just... But he signed a seven-year deal, and I guess he wanted that security, and perhaps based on the fact that of that upbringing and coming from nothing, that you just... It's hard to turn down $18, $19 million. And, but, you know, that was another thing to say that... And I think I mentioned to it yesterday that he is absolutely on the podium of the most underplayed athletes in the history of the NBA.
Great to talk to you, Gazy. I'd love to talk to you more about it, but I was so excited. I just wanted to get you on again. So thanks for your time. Nah, we'll talk again after the next lot of episodes drop.
I can't wait, mate. Looking forward to it. Thanks, mate.
Andrew Gaze, the all-time great, greatest NBL player it's ever been and one of the icons of Australian sport. Take a break. Take some more of your calls. 1-300-736-736. If you watched The Last Dance, give me a buzz. What did you think? Was it as good as that was described by Andrew Gaze? Might even have been better.